Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's EHS podcast for the week ending May 1st. My name is Alan Nguyen.
And I'm Allison Franke.
And we'll be bringing you the latest news in environmental health and safety.
So before we get into this week's stories, we want to take a minute to recognize those that have lost their lives in the workplace. This past Tuesday was Workers' Memorial Day, or in some parts of the world, often referred to as World Day for Safety and Health at Work. It's a day to mourn the dead and fight for the living, a day to recognize those who lost their lives on the job and draw attention to some of the ways in which we can prevent workplace fatalities. If you visit our blog, we recently put up an infographic illustrating the magnitude of work-related deaths each year, and I think we need to all do our part and renew our commitment towards safety and health at work. So with that, let's move on to the stories we have this week.
So Allison, I believe you have an update for us on Mental Health Month.
Yeah, so for over 65 years now, May has been recognized as Mental Health Month. Mental health is a topic that's become far more socially acceptable to discuss openly and compassionately within, I'd say, the last decade or so. And it's a good thing because, according to recent statistics, nearly one in five Americans had a diagnosable mental health condition in the last year, and many others are at risk. And because employees spend more than one-third of their day at work and the majority of their waking hours, workplace well-being is a big aspect of the mental health picture. So mental illness in the workplace is also becoming a more recognized issue, but it can still be a very challenging one for companies to handle appropriately. Workplace law expert Melanie Samuels says that it can be a delicate balancing act between the rights of employees and employers. One organization by the name of Mental Health America urges companies to view workplace well-being as a business strategy. So it's estimated that each year, mental illness and substance abuse, which are often linked, cost employers an estimated $80 to $100 billion in direct costs. Here's a more specific example. About a quarter of the 20,000 disability checks per month that insurance company Great West Life issues in BC go to clients with mental illness claims. Luckily, there are some really great resources out there for how you can improve psychological health and safety in your workplace, or how you can support employee success when mental health is a factor. So from identifying workplace issues to accommodation strategies, all the way through to supporting a successful return to work for employees who require time away, this May is a great opportunity to keep an eye out for ways that you can better address your employees' mental health needs. And Alan, you've got a story for us on motorcycle safety.
So in addition to mental health, May is also Motorcycle Safety Awareness Month. And to mark the occasion, we thought we would provide our listeners who commute to work on their motorcycles with a few handy tips for staying safe on the road. So the Insurance Bureau of Canada has provided the following tips to keep riders safe. So for starters, drive what you can control. Often people buy motorcycles that are too powerful for them to handle, so they suggest asking your dealer if you can test drive the bike before you buy it. Another tip is to take a safety course. Be aware of your limits on the motorcycle. Just imagine what would happen if you had to quickly avoid an accident. Also, ride accordingly to weather and road conditions. Be sure to check forecasts and keep your eyes on the road ahead. Another tip is to wear a Department of Transportation approved helmet. Choose the best helmet suited for how you ride and replace it every 5 years. Also, you can wear clothing that will protect you in a fall. Heavy denim or leather jackets and pants aren't just stylish. They help prevent nasty cuts and burns if you fall. Another tip is to stay focused on the road. The reality is motorcyclists are 30 times more likely to die in a collision than people in a car, according to the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. Also, another tip is to always be seen. Assume that car drivers can't see you, so leave them plenty of room. Also, wear clothing or reflective materials to allow you to be seen. And the last tip is to ride in a proper position in the lane. Know where you should be positioned in the lane and never drive along the middle of the lane where there's an oil buildup from cars. So hopefully you found some of these tips useful the next time you're on the road.
And Allison, I believe you have an update for us from the oil industry.
Yeah, so last week, the Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement, also known as BSEE, unveiled new offshore blowout preventer and well control regulations. So these regulations have been a long time coming. It's been 5 years now since the Deepwater Horizon tragedy, and BSEE has been criticized by some for taking so long to come out with these new regulations in the aftermath of that 2010 blowout, which caused a rig explosion that ultimately killed 11 crewmen and led to the largest oil spill in U.S. waters to date. As the agency responsible for ensuring the safety of offshore oil and gas operations in the U.S., BSEE has been working with the oil and gas industry, other government agencies, the scientific community, and other stakeholders to develop new standards and technology that will hopefully avoid a similar accident in the future. Regulations like these, of course, aren't easy to develop, and the BSEE has taken the position that it is better to be thorough rather than end up with a blindly prescriptive and hastily pulled together set of regulations. The proposal released last week focuses on new standards for the design, manufacture, repair, and maintenance of blowout preventers, in addition to real-time monitoring of deepwater and other so-called high-risk drilling operations. The regulations would also require the presence of agency inspectors during blowout preventer testing, as well as many other new safety precautions. BSEE officials have said they don't expect compliance with these new proposed rules to be unreasonably expensive for the offshore oil and gas industry to adapt to. The public comment period of the proposed rule runs until June 16th of this year. And if you'd like to learn more about these proposed rules, you can find a link to the BSEE press release in the resources section of this podcast. And Alan, you have a story for us coming out of California.
Yeah, so California is continuing to make headlines once again. It was announced Wednesday that the state plans to issue a new standard for greenhouse gas reduction over the next 15 years. The state is looking at a target of 40% below 1990 levels by the end of 2030. And authorities are anticipating that the new target will allow for a reduction goal of 80% under to be reached by the end of 2050. The target contained in an executive order is in line with one adopted by the European Union last year. California's governor, Jerry Brown, was quoted as saying that the order sets a high standard for the state and hopes that other states will follow suit. There are a few specifics on how the goal would actually be achieved in Mr. Brown's order. He is scheduled to speak today in Los Angeles on the effects of carbon and also an economic forum. The order requires the state agencies to incorporate climate change effects into the state's five-year infrastructure plan to identify how climate change could affect California's infrastructure and industry. The order also requires that climate change be factored into the state's agency planning and investment decisions. It also requires agencies to implement measures to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The governor's order was actually praised by climate researchers and politicians, including former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. The decision comes on the heels of an aggressive effort aimed at fighting the state's historic drought, which has been California's primary environmental concern in recent months. So we will definitely be keeping an eye on this story in the upcoming weeks, and we'll provide our listeners with an update as soon as we get more information. And that concludes this week's EHS podcast. If you'd like to learn more about any of the stories that we covered today, be sure to check out the resource links in this podcast. And as always, thanks for listening.